Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back into another edition of the Fourth Man Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony, as always, and thanks again for tuning in to another episode. It's been a couple of weeks, a little bit of a slow start to the podcast, but we're going to catch you up on everything that's happened through the first 2 weeks. We're going to preview the games for week three and kind of get into a little bit more detail about what's been going on from a more of a detailed summary standpoint. And I'm also going to give you my biggest contenders and pretenders of the 1-1 team, since we have eight of them, before we get into it. Sorry about the lack of podcast. First and foremost, I want to start there. Mainly, I've been trying to get some guests on. Mainly, you know, if you've been following the show for a while, I'm always trying to get some of the new players on to start the year. But we've had a little bit of conflicting schedules and scheduling issues, so that hasn't been the case just yet. That being said, hopefully next week, I'm not going to try to put it out into the world just yet because I don't want anything to fall through. But hopefully next week, we should have multiple guests, which means, and I'll update you guys this on the social media pages, but hopefully that means that I will have a couple of interviews, and then I'll just send out a couple of different episodes of just the interviews themselves, just so that you guys can hear from some of the new players and some of their experiences during their rookie seasons in the Big Three. But all that to be said, I'll make sure I catch you guys up on what's already happening and kind of give you my thoughts and opinion. Most of you that are listening or watching the show probably already know what's going on up to this point, but in any case, any detail that you might have missed, I'll make sure to fill you guys in on what's going on. So we got a good episode for you today. No interview, unfortunately, but like I said, next week, hopefully we'll have a couple of different players on the show. So first and foremost, before we get into things, as always, make sure you're following the show on all social media platforms at Fourth Man Pod, 4TH Man Pod, and make sure you're subscribed. Hit the notification bell on YouTube, youtube.com/fourthmanpod, if you want to get a visual and see the reactions of some of these players when we do have those interviews go down as well. Also, want to give a big shout out to Believe Network, as always, just for rocking with us. They give us a platform to talk about the Big Three. Again, we're the one and only podcast out there talking about the Big Three on a consistent basis year around, which hopefully that shows you my level of dedication to this league. So I just want to say a big thank you to Believe, as always, because they have supported us for so many years and continue to support us as the league grows and as we kind of grow our own podcast as well as the league grows as well. So thanks to Believe. With that being said, let's get into the show. I want to start here. Let's try to see, or I'm going to try to see, if I can give a brief summary and explain what's happened through the first 2 weeks in the league in a minute's worth of time. So here's where we stand currently. We currently have two 2-0 teams, which is Enemies and Bivouac, two 0-2 teams in Trilogy and Killer Threes. Dante Green is the leading scorer in the league. Jason Richardson leads the league in rebounds. Joe Johnson's the assist leader. Corey Brewer leads the league in steals, and Earl Clark has the most blocked shots currently. Marcus Foster leads all rookies in scoring at the moment through 2 weeks. We also only have 3 4-pointers made so far in the season. All of those came in week two. And we also have three personnel changes so far in the season, with Devin Ebanks, Javier Carter, and the latest new addition, Duke Skywalker, or De'Zarin Jones, otherwise known as Duke Skywalker, who's joined the league this week. And of the 7 new cities that we're going to be visiting this summer, we're going to be playing in our first new city this Saturday or tomorrow when the show comes out in Baltimore. So that's kind of a quick summary of what's happened so far. It's been a pretty eventful first 2 weeks. I will say it's been ultra competitive through the first 2 weeks, which is kind of what we expected, but I don't even think I expected it to this level. I thought we'd see more undefeated teams. Honestly, thought I'd see more winless teams up to this point, but kind of leveled out in the same stages of where we usually land at, a couple of teams that are undefeated and a couple of teams that haven't won. and a lot of people in the middle of the pack. So we have 8 1-1 teams right now, and it's kind of the Wild West. I think the biggest surprises probably coming out of week two is the fact that Aliens won by 15. That's probably one of the bigger surprises. Also kind of surprising the way Bivouac won. Honestly, I think they could have won that game probably without the technicality of Three's Company calling a timeout, even though they didn't have one. I feel like that's kind of still up for debate. They're saying they only called one and they had multiple. Never seen that happen in the league's history, but it kind of gave me those Fab Five Michigan vibes that we saw back in the day when they lost in a similar fashion. So those are probably the two biggest surprises that come through from week two. But nonetheless, Bivouac is 2-0. And Aliens, despite losing their captain and one of the, you know, more prominent names to join the Big Three in Paul Millsap, they won by 15 without him, but somehow lost with him balling out, going for 21 points. So just goes to show that on any given night, the league has a lot of parity this year, and that anybody could probably win a game if you don't come with your A game. So it's been good so far. There's, again, 8 1-1 teams right now. Everybody pretty much but enemies, Bivouac, Killer Threes, and Trilogy are all sitting at 1-1. That being said, I feel like there's some that stick out from the rest. Now, it's only been 2 weeks. Like I said, I feel like for teams like Aliens, who I still am a little unsure of how the rest of the year is going to play out with them getting a new addition in Devin Ebanks and playing without Paul Millsap for the first week, but also kind of looking good in that first week with Paul Millsap, but just looking extraordinary in the second week with Devin Ebanks against the Ball Hogs team that also shot poorly in week two, but shot really well in week one. So kind of hard to understand what's to take on them. On the flip side, like a team like Tri-State, we've seen their worst in week one, and then we saw their best, I feel like, in week two. So I feel like some stick out from the other. I would say right now my biggest contender is kind of piggybacking off what I just said is Tri-State. I mean, I think we've seen what they really can be this year. I was pretty high on them coming into the season. On a couple of different podcasts, I was explaining that because of the firepower of Jason Richardson and Kevin Murphy. One, I feel like Jason Richardson is someone that's really taking the league. I think he takes it serious every year, but I think this is the most serious he's taken it. You know, adding a couple of different co-captain, making some tough changes of a team that's been together for a long time, and really trying to put some pieces together. And I feel like week one, they were having a little bit of chemistry issues, but week two, when Jason Richardson's at his best, when Kevin Murphy's scoring, when, you know, I mean, the addition of Henry Sims, I feel like he's kind of coming to his own, had a couple of pretty solid performances in his first 2 weeks. I feel like this is a Tri-State team that could definitely make the Final Four and kind of has shades of the team that was the number one seed in 2021 that was in the playoffs in 2021 when we were in the Bahamas. Another contender, I want to say, and this is kind of maybe a cop-out just because I feel like they're always a contender with this guy, but Triplets is, you know, I feel like they're always a contender with Joe Johnson. But one thing that really stood out from their week one game in comparison to their week two game is just the style of play. Not to say that they can't win when Joe's scoring a lot of points, which we saw in week one. But in week two, we saw him distribute the ball really well, also get to his spots and score. The Triplets is big, and Joe Johnson's is big about kind of the transition points where you get a rebound and try to kick it out to people that are running out to the three-point line. I feel like they did a really good job of that in week two. And then when Jeremy Pargo and especially Gennaro Pargo are at their best and they're making a lot of shots, and when Gennaro is taking more shots, this is a really dangerous team. They have a lot of continuity for a team that's been together for a long time. You know, some of these guys have won championships, and then adding Jeff Ayers to the mix. I've said multiple times leading up to the season that I didn't feel like necessarily Triplets got better than what they were before. However, this just goes to show that this style of play and this system, I don't want to say this system, but this style of play with Joe Johnson, where he's scoring and facilitating and Jeremy Pargo's, you know, able to get a lot more one-on-one opportunities and knocks down a lot of shots. This is a dangerous team, a scary team. And they were also up 13 with Joe scoring a lot of points against enemies. It was just kind of, Lisa Leslie actually mentioned this, there were some rotation issues in the terms of letting some of these guys rest. She didn't do a lot of that in week one. Enemies make a run, which they've had dominant second halves in both of their games so far. But enemies made a run, and then ultimately Triplets fall, kind of run out of gas at the last minute. So I think Triplets is another contender alongside Tri-State, two teams that I definitely could see in the Final Four With who? I don't know. Enemies, I think, could be one. Bivouac's looking pretty good, but also we could talk more about that later, but I feel like they've won a lot of games solely based on grit, hustle, and just, you know, winning a lot of 50-50 balls because their shots, especially from the three-point line, haven't been falling too much. In terms of pretenders through our one-on-one teams, well, I kind of alluded to a little bit. Aliens, I'm just not sure what to make of Aliens so far. You know, I mean, this is a team that with Paul Millsap the first week, I don't even know if the expectations were still high. I mean, like, Paul had a really good game, and a lot of guys on the team seemed to, like, you know, start to figure it out a little bit in week one to the point where they only lost by five, and part of that was maybe because Paul Millsap went down late in the game. They were only down one. Millsap shoots that four. It looks like he tore his Achilles trying to run for the loose ball because it was hitting off the backboard. He didn't want them to get easy points. You know, who knows if they even lose that game necessarily. But with Aliens winning by 15 last week, I mean, they were 7 of 15 from three. They also limited Ball Hogs to just one three-pointer. They were 1 for 14, the Ball Hogs were, from behind the line. And their main duo of Leandro Barbosa, Jody Meeks struggled a little bit, just hitting shots. Lucas Mariano wasn't the same guy. DeJuan Summers has yet to score a point. Like, I don't know if, even if Aliens plays the way they do, if they're going to win week in and week out with their roster. Now, Devin Ebanks, who was the replacement for Paul Millsap, kind of seems like a seamless fit. He's a guy that we know can score. We saw him as a third leading scorer for Tri-State last year. I just don't know, do they have enough size? Do they have enough wings to be able to defend a lot of the different, you know, scores that we have in this league? Like, I don't know. Like, they right now they have basically one big, because I think Paul Millsap was kind of going to be the other big, but they have one big in Al Jefferson. And not to say that he gets played off the floor sometimes, but defensively he has a hard time switching against smaller guards, and he's just a little bit older. He doesn't move the same. So I don't know. I feel like Aliens might be a little bit of a pretender, but I don't want to rule them out because I love a good underdog story. And the Millsaps looked really good last week, along with Dusan Bulut kind of coming to his own. When Dusan's hitting a lot of shots like that, they are a dangerous team. He's hitting one-legged threes from the corner. Like, this can be a scary team, but at the same time, like, I just don't know, are they going to be able to do that every week? They're definitely not going to get a team shooting 1 for 14 for a second straight week, and they get enemies this week. So talk more about that in their preview. I would say the other pretender, and maybe this is a little bit of a hot take, but three-headed monsters. I really like the makeup of this team more than I thought I would at the beginning of the year. My concern always was that they have a little bit of experience. Like, obviously, Richard Lewis is the coach. But outside of Brandon Moss, who even for them played, what, 3-4 games in 2023, didn't have a ton of experience. Now, last week, they looked pretty good all the way up into the early parts of the second half when Triplets had, what, that 13-0 run, mainly by Jeremy Pargo hitting a couple fours. So who knows? Maybe that's just a fluke and that doesn't happen again. They also didn't have Jeff Teague last week. But I am just – I feel like sometimes there is a little bit of an adjustment to this league. A lot of guys realizing that the court is not as small as you think it would be for a half court. And just the adjustment in the style of play, getting chemistry on point with each other. Like, Jeff and Marcus obviously probably got a lot of chemistry, but they're not even on the floor at the same time. Brandon Moss had a little bit of a down game last week. Also, maybe just not having as many opportunities. Like, I don't know. I thought Greg Monroe, and maybe he's adjusting. I thought we'd see maybe Greg Monroe be one of the leading scorers and leading rebounders in this league, but I don't know. I mean, Richard Lewis's experience, maybe he's trying some different things with rotations early in the season. Being a one-on-one team, you can maybe do that a little bit more. But if I had to put my money on it, I probably would say that Three-Headed Monsters doesn't make the playoffs. That being said, you know, I could definitely also see myself eating my words, which, you know, we love the guys from the Three-Headed Monsters, so I don't want to say that they're not going to make the playoffs, but, you know, this is a team that has only missed the playoffs one time in their history. I just feel like right now, it's not as, like there's not a lot of unsureness in the sense like I have for Aliens, but with Three-Headed Monsters, like, I am a little unsure how this team finishes and goes against other teams. Like last week, I don't feel like they really played a bad game. Triplets just went on a little bit of a run. I'm just a little unsure of like what the roles are for everybody. Obviously, it feels like, you know, Marcus Teague kind of found his own stride a little bit, but I'm just unsure of like, is this going to be like a, I don't know, team oriented, balanced style of play? Is there going to be one guy they rely to like late game moments or like when they really need some points scored? Like defensively, are they going to be able to compete with the rest of the league? Like, I mean, they have two wings with a lot of size and a lot of bounce, a lot of defensive versatility with Brandon Moss and Shakur Justin. I'm just unsure. So that's my long explanation of why I think they're a pretender. Could definitely eat my words. Could be someone completely different. But we'll see. They have a big game against Bivouac this week. And I guess that kind of leads into the previews of this week. And we'll talk a little bit more detail in terms of like what I saw from each team the past couple weeks. And I kind of explain what I think about three-headed monsters and why I think they're a pretender. But in the same vein, let's start here. I think Bivouac has gotten a lot better. I think they needed two bigs. I think their game plan of getting two bigs that can pick and pop, pick and roll, also just like having high IQ and are going to make the right plays has been huge for them. We've seen that. They've competed in both games they've played so far against Trilogy and against Three's Company. You know, like they have the firepower on offense to be able to get things done. They have an interesting strategy of having Gerald Green come off the bench. And in game one, we saw a little bit more of that microwave scoring off the bench, like later in the game that we did in week two. But I should say Corey Brewer's probably been one of the best players in the league. Top five in scoring, top five in rebounding. I mentioned at the top of the show, he leads the league in steals right now. He's been great. He's been phenomenal. Like probably should be in the MVP conversation through the first 2 weeks. My concern is like, one, they haven't hit a ton of 3-point shots. You know, that's a place where they've struggled. I mean, mainly it's been Gerald Green hitting all their 3-point shots, and that was mostly in the first game. The other part is like they've been tight games in everything and every single game they've played, and they've won from a lot of like that hustle and determination and you know, just basically playing harder. Are they able to get past every team doing that? Maybe so. Sometimes it's not always about skill set. It's just about effort. But right now, I feel like, you know, you've been teeter-tottering on these close games. They rightfully deserve to be 2-0, but could they be 0-2? Like, maybe. Maybe they – like it's – you wouldn't be surprised just with how close the first two games have been. That being said, I feel like shots do start to come down at some point. You know, Garland Green's been really good for them. He's been kind of their – him and Corey Brewer have kind of been the go-to guys when it comes on the offensive end. A lot less, like, isolation action this summer, where I feel like comparison to last year was kind of their go-to. They've spread the ball a lot better. Defensively, they've been pretty good. They've rebounded the ball a lot better. So, I mean, this is a much-improved Bivouac team. And you know, for us on the show, like, we're rooting for the teams that haven't made the playoffs. I think we've been pretty blunt about that just because I think it's good for every team to get an opportunity, especially a team like Ball Hogs, who's been in this thing since the start, one of the original eight teams. So, you know, and they go against three-headed monsters who I was talking about just a second ago that I'm unsure of like kind of where their role is. Do I think they're a contender at this point? Not necessarily, but I don't feel like we've gotten the whole picture just yet because Jeff Teague's played one game and they kind of played, they had different rotations and different styles in terms of like how they approach things through with their game against Aliens and with their game against Triplets. So this is an important one. Bivouac's 2-0, three-headed monsters is 1-1. It's obviously probably more important for three-headed monsters because starting 1-2 puts yourself in a position, in a tough position. But this is also Bivouac's first 2-0 start. I'm thinking of predictions here. That's why I kind of like looked up and had that like thought noise there. But It's hard for me to say. Like I just said, like Bivouac could be 0-2, but I really like the projection of this team right now. And I think I like the capability they have defensively and just like how hard they've been playing. Like I think Gary Payton too, just looking at some of the behind the scenes things, he's like really antsy to have a successful season with Bivouac. He hasn't made the playoffs since making the transition from three-headed monsters to Bivouac. I think he's very like locked in and just determined to try to get this team and will this team into the playoffs from what he can do from a coaching perspective. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Bivouac here this week. I'm going to say that their three-point shooting improves. Javier Carter has been really good for them as a big who they didn't originally draft, but he's fit in nicely. And with more opportunity, he's obviously been, I think, a lot better. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Bivouac here. But mostly it's because I'm also, I feel like we know what to expect from Bivouac through the first couple weeks. I'm still a little unsure because Jeff Teague's only played one game so far. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Bivouac this week. Said they go 3-0 and say that 3-8 Monsters falls to 1-2. Moving on to the second game, that's going to be on CBS, which is Power and Triplets. And we've gotten this game twice so far in the Big Three's history. Both been amazing games. The first time was in 2019 with both teams undefeated. The second time was in 2021, coming back from the year that we didn't have in 2020. And this is when Royce White was more animated, more vocal, and really calling out Joe Johnson. Power had a lead on them late in the game, and then Joe Johnson went supernova and ended the game on a three ultimately to beat them. So they're 1-1. This is kind of the tiebreaker here. Different squads for sure. And we'll start with Power, where I felt like in week one, it was a slow start. Well, let me go back a little bit. I think Power's gotten off to a couple slow starts. In week one, it was a little bit more concerning because late in the game, they were down 10 with Three's Company beating Game Point Forever. Now, they obviously came back and got to 51st. But I think that slow start made it difficult to try to close out things in the first one because you expanded all your energy until late in the game. And then ultimately, Three's Company gets a win there. In the second game, you know, they kind of got behind just a little bit, and then they were able to find their footing. They went go from down 7 to up 7.5 and then kind of take off with that one. They also had maybe a questionable ejection with Gwynn Rice Jr. And I feel like both teams weren't really happy with the refs in that game. However, that being said, I really like what they've done with Marcus Foster. I think I mentioned this early in the offseason that I thought he was going to be really good just based off what I've seen in his highlights, what I've seen from TJ Klein talking about him. And he's been as advertised. 22 points last week, hit the game winner on a step back three. He's nice. He's got a deep bag. And I feel like he's getting his – and he, you know, he's just coming off winning a championship, so he hasn't lost a stride at all yet. So I think for Marcus Foster – He's going to be one of the more dynamic scorers in this league. And between him and Gwynn Rice Jr., that's a dangerous combo that I worry is Triplets going to be able to guard them. Like, I think Power's a little bit of an underrated team here. They lost only by 2 in week 1. And I feel like in week 2, they had a lot more chemistry. It's not like a team that doesn't have a lot of chemistry. Like, most of these guys have been together for a while. But this team, I feel like with the additions of Deshaun Stevens, with the addition of Marcus Foster, these guys have all kind of come together and found a little bit more chemistry and, you know, gotten to know each other a little better in their style of plays. And I think that showed a lot in week 2. So I really like what Power has to offer. On the flip side with Triplets, like I kind of mentioned it when I was talking about them being a contender. They're always a contender with Joe. What are we going to get from this game? Is it going to be more of Joe as a facilitator, as more of Joe as the aggressor? You know, is Jeremy Pargo going to be able to carry the other side of the load that I feel like Triplets, if they get from him, they're always going to win if Joe has a big game and Jeremy Pargo has a big game. But my concern mostly is probably from Triplets on the defensive side, being able to contain these two guards and then also contain Royce White inside. And Do they have the size to be able to out-rebound a really good rebounding power team with Royce White, with Deshaun Stevens, and then also with TJ Klein, who does a lot of the work that doesn't show up on the stat sheet necessarily. So with that being said, I'm actually going to give the edge to power here. Both teams are 1-1. I'm going to give the edge to power here in that they go 2-1. Again, I think they're one of the more underrated teams, and I feel like I need to stand 10 toes down on what I've been saying. I didn't necessarily feel like triplets got better in the offseason, and not to say that they can't win a lot of games still. I just like the advantage that power has with Marcus Foster definitely getting familiar, and I feel like starting to show the league like what type of player he is and how dynamic he can be. And then Glenn Rush Jr. coming back, maybe with a little bit of a vengeance as well. I feel like those two guys trying to stop them with, you know, Joe, Jamario Moon, a little bit of an older squad. I feel like power has the advantage. I'm going to go with power here. Ghost Ballers and Ball Hogs is going to be the first game that happens on X. And this is a rematch of last year's week 3 game where Ball Hogs just absolutely put on a show against Ghost Ballers. Had a pretty sizable win. And ultimately, they got off to their own 2-1 start. Now, both teams are 1-1. Both teams are coming off tough losses with Ghost Ballers, who were only down 1 to enemies at halftime, ultimately losing by 14 last week after enemies had a tremendous second half. They didn't necessarily play well up to their offensive standards, but they have struggled with turnovers mightily. Like, I don't know if this is like a chemistry issue, because most of these guys are returning from last year's team, but they've struggled with turnovers. I think Hezegod, with the addition of him, with Hezegod being a later addition, he started to find his groove a little bit late in the game, but it's a different role he's playing this year. Like, he's not going to be a guy that's handling the ball as much as he did with Trilogy last year when he averaged 21 points and won Rookie of the Year. Like, scored 10 last week, but he's coming off the bench this year and has playing a little bit of a different role, which I think he's starting to get familiar with. But turnovers have killed them so far. Like, that's probably been the biggest game changer, and especially last week, is like they just gave up the ball way too much. Ultimately, enemies took advantage of that on multiple occasions, got easy baskets, whether it was like just – and turnovers, I think in a sense, turnovers could be considered, you know, shot selection if you're shooting air balls, if you're shooting off the backboard and not hitting the rim. Like, those are easy baskets for the other team. I feel like enemies took advantage a lot of that last week, and maybe even killer threes a little bit in week 1. So it's going to be important for them to play a sound, clean game. Also, too, like, Mo Charlo has been a great addition on the defensive end. I feel like you got to get some of these other guys involved there. Like, you know, like, I feel like Mo Charlo maybe hit a shot here and there. I know it's not that necessarily his role, but I think that would be helpful for their team. Mike Taylor's been doing a lot. He leads the team in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. We know what type of players Chris Johnson and Hezegod and Darnell Jackson are. I feel like they got to help Mike out a little bit in order for this team to ultimately improve to 2-1. Although Darnell's been really good. Like, D-Block's been extremely impressive. I feel like, just, you know, whether it's hitting timely shots or being a passer out the block at the post, like, Darnell Jackson's a really high IQ player, and I think he's been really good, even if it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. But I do feel like Mike needs a little bit of help, and he's taken a lot more of the load upon himself, maybe with the absence of Jonathan Simmons, who they were able to kind of like balance that a little bit more last year. But turnovers have definitely been costly for them. On the other side, Ball Hogs, look, their first game, they played really well. Like, they got a great performance from Lucas Mariano in his debut. Like, their stars showed out with Leandro Barbosa and Jody Meeks, and they shot the ball well. Week 2, they didn't shoot the ball well at all, and they didn't get enough stops. And ultimately, they fell to 1-1. They lost by 15, which was, I think, surprising to a lot of people, like, within the league, fans of the league, whatever the case may be. So just be about, you know, putting the ball in the basket. I think they got to get DeJuan Summers going. He's an important piece to this team. He's a guy that can score a lot of points. He was a number one pick last year for a reason. He was the fourth man of the year before last season, for a reason, with Tri-State. So I think they got to get DeJuan hot. It's tough for me to call this game just thinking about the matchups, but I will say that Larry Sanders you know, being tied for your leading scorer probably isn't the way that they're going to win most games in the week. I feel like, too, Ghost Ballers is coming for a little bit of revenge. So I'm going to lean Ghost Ballers here. But I don't want to say that necessarily knocks. I mean, obviously, it doesn't knock Ball Hawks out of contention and put them in my harder spot. But still rooting for Ball Hawks. Just because them and Bivouac haven't made the playoffs yet. And I have a little bit of bias for wanting them to make the playoffs. Because I think it'll be good for the league itself. But I'm giving the edge to Ghost Ballers here. Although I feel like it'll be a tight one. It won't be a huge win by Ball Hawks like it was last year. So Ghost Ballers 2-1, Ball Hawks 1-2. Killer 3 is in Tri-State. This is an interesting one just because Killer 3's is 0-2 and pretty much in a do-or-die situation. Despite having the best rebounding team and the top scorer in the league in Dante Green, somehow they are 0-2. They've only lost by 8 points in their two games so far, but they have somehow just, I guess they just really haven't been able to close games. I feel like for Killer 3's, it's really been the guard play so far. Not to say that they've been terrible, but they got to get Frank Nitti going. They got to get Dominic Johnson going. Those are two key elements to their team that I feel like makes this team go. Like Josh Powell averaging, you know, a double-double right now, that's great. Like I don't feel like we've seen that from him in past years. He hits timely shots. He rebounds. But that's not really how they've been winning in past years. So it's great to see that. I feel like if you can couple that with what Dante Green's doing as well as get the two guards going, I think that's going to be huge for them. Now they dropped Will Felder Jr. this week and added Duke Skywalker, as I mentioned at the top of the show, De'Zaren Jones, who is making his big three debut. And if you've seen him on YouTube or Instagram, he's got a pretty big following over there, but he's also part of the Ball is Life team. This guy can hoop. You know, he's a really good shooter. He can probably catch his own bodies alongside body bag if he wants to. So I'm going to be interested how he fits into this. More spacing and more shooting is going to be good for them. But I feel like for them, despite, you know, dropping Will Felder and making that draft pick and only seeing 2 weeks of him, I feel like this is a team that because they're 0-2, because it's a short season, they feel like they need to make a change and a spark. I'm excited to see what he does. I think he knows Frank Nitti pretty well. And I feel like adding some extra shooting, probably a better shooter than Will Felder. Although we didn't see a ton of shooting from him, but probably like I feel like Felder was posting up a lot. I think we're going to see Duke more on the perimeter. I think it's going to be good for them when they have a lot of drive and kick situations. You know, obviously Nitti and DJ are two guys that make the right plays. They like to drive to the basket. DJ can lull people to sleep on a shot, but also make the right play as a facilitator. So I like what they have, you know, what they've added. I talked a little bit about Tri-State already and how dynamic they can be. We've also just seen them probably come off their best game of the season. And even then, when they were up 20, the game got as tight as 6 late. So they got to make sure that they close games out. But the duo of Jason Richardson and Kevin Murphy, like, that's an elite duo. Like, arguably one of the top two duos in this league. And I think for them, like, if they can close games out, they're going to have to be good on the boards, which we saw Jason Richardson can do. But I think getting Amir Johnson involved, having him, you know, maybe catch a few more rebounds and just get going a little bit, I think he'll be a key piece because Josh Powell will be kind of his counterpart in this game. But I feel like as long as they can close games out and they can, you know, at least not lose the glass game dramatically. Like, I feel like this will be a tight one. Like, on paper, I feel like it's easy to pick Tri-State and have them go 2-1. Like, I think Tri-State's a really good team. However, and this is a rematch of last year's week one, when Tri-State beat Killer 3's, it's hard for me to think that Killer 3's goes to 0-3. They've lost three games over the past. Like, they've lost three games total every year since 2019. For them to go 0-3, I'd be really shocked. Like, I know it's a competitive league this year, and the league's gotten stronger, and they kind of run back the same core for the past 3 years, but I'd be really shocked to see Killer 3's go 0-3. So I'm going to say that Killer 3's pulls off an upset here, goes 1-2, and also forces Tri-State to fall to 1-2 as well. It's just hard for me to think that Killer Threes goes to 0-3. It really is. So I'm going to say Killer Threes defeats Tri-State and gets their first win of the season here. Which, maybe that's a hot take. Maybe I'm getting all these wrong. Who knows? But I find it hard to think that Killer Threes goes down without a fight. So Killer Threes 1-3, Tri-State 1-3. Moving on to Enemies and Aliens. Enemies looks like they can't be stopped right now. Let's be real. I mean, I was talking about dynamic duos like Elijah Stewart and Jordan Crawford. That might be the dynamic duo in this league right now. They've both looked good for through the first 2 weeks, and this team as a whole has looked really good this week, like through the first 2 weeks. You know, Isaiah Austin, Chris Allen, Quincy Miller, when he's, you know, played limited minutes. This looks like a team on a mission to make it back-to-back, and right now I don't think teams have been able to find a way to stop both Jordan Crawford and Elijah Stewart, which I think teams are going to be able – are going to have to do in order to beat this Enemies team, to be honest. They've been really hard to stop, and I feel like even Elijah Stewart in the first game was really good too. He kind of carried the load until JC got hot. But until teams can figure out a way to stop both of them, I don't think this team is going to lose anytime soon. And to be honest, like, it's kind of an easy determination from the start. No knock on Aliens, but I think Enemies is going to go 3-0 here. Like, they kind of look unstoppable at the moment. And despite that, you know, like, Aliens had a very balanced scoring effort last week, a very team-oriented play, and I feel like they're starting to get their footing between the Millsaps and Bullitt and Al Jefferson, and then now adding Devin Ebanks. Like, these are guys that practice together constantly at the Millsaps facility, Core 4 in Atlanta. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they're gaining that chemistry and figuring out different sets and plays that they can incorporate into their game. And who knows? Maybe they can pull off another surprising upset. Like we said earlier, like, we love a good underdog story. But it's hard for me to think that someone's going to be able to stop, and for any team, be able to stop Jordan Crawford and Elijah Stewart right now. And even if they do, like, I think, you know, with the addition of Chris Allen, I don't even think we've seen the best of him yet. We've seen him in short spurts. We've seen him make a lot of, like, a few contested shots here, like really tough shots. And I think he's another shot maker. Well, really, you have like five shot makers on this team, but I think he's another shot maker from a guard perspective that can get going if he's called upon. But, you know, I don't know if they'll necessarily need it this week. Like, I think JC, I don't even think we've seen the full potential of what he can do, of what we saw him do and what he can do so far to start the season. Like, I still think he's getting warmed up, and maybe he's warm now and ready to, you know, ready to explode in week three. But I think Enemies beats Aliens. Enemies beat Aliens last year, but a completely different Alien squad. I do think this Alien squad is a little bit better than last year's, but I think Enemies is going to take this one home and move to 3-0, and Aliens goes to 1-2. By the way, I didn't mention it on the Tri-State, but shout out Murph. This is his brand, Bang Up, Believe and Never Give Up. I got this a while back, but try to show love to all the teams and players. So shout out to Murph. I contemplated this week getting an Enemy shirt just because I feel like those graphic tees are pretty dope. But they're a little bit on the higher side. I still am kind of contemplating it because those are from fire shirts. But if you're a player or a team and you have different merch out there, I'm always trying to support the brand and support the league and all the teams out there. So comment down below. I will take a look at it. And at some point, I'll probably purchase. And also, too, I know I've had this Maggette jersey pinned up back there for a while, but I got a few other jerseys. I'm supposed to have a Mike Taylor signed jersey coming from the Big Three because I won some kind of like question auction, I guess is the way you can put it. I answered a question the fastest, and I was the first person to do it on the IG Live when they interviewed Mike Taylor. So should have that coming soon. So I'm going to need a few different frames. So if you have any suggestions for frames for jerseys that you use, please comment those down below as well. That would be much appreciated because I'm probably going to retire the Maggette one onto the jersey rack. And, oh, you can actually see some of them. I got Bullets, who's signed, and then I got Joe Johnson, who's signed. So probably going to hang up a few of those once I get that Mike Taylor one. But let me know some good, like, frames for jerseys, because that's a really cheap one, and I probably need some better ones to make this thing look legit. But final game of the day tomorrow is going to be between Trilogy and Three's Company. And Trilogy is a team also in an 0-2 spot and a two or die position, where they're going against a Three's Company team who is definitely looking for vengeance, sitting at 1-1, losing on a technicality, definitely pissed, and definitely a team that's not struggled to make shots. Like, they're shooting 50% from the field basically in their first 2 weeks, and they have a pretty solid core, you know, had a little bit of a training camp, and they're definitely on a different projection than I feel like Trilogy right now. Like, for Trilogy, I feel like their biggest thing right now is, like, defensively, they've been a really good team. They've been really strong. They lead the league in blocks. They're second in steals. But they're top heavy when it comes to offense. Isaiah Briscoe and Earl Clark have pretty much been carrying the load. They need some help from some of these new guys and the big three, you know, big three Hall of Famer James White, because it can't just be those two guys week in and week out and they expect to carry them offensively, do their part defensively, and hope that they win. Like, being down 20 last week, that was a little bit of an outlier. You know, they played their best in order to get back into it, played till the very end, but those guys can't shoulder the complete load for the entirety of the game in order for them to win. So I think it's just about getting other guys involved. Roscoe Smith definitely feels like he's getting a little bit more comfortable playing. Caddy LeLane, I feel like they're still trying to work him in, but those guys got to be able to, like, step up big time for Trilogy. Three's Company, on the other hand, like, Michael Beasley, business as usual. Reggie Evans, business as usual. Mario Chalmers with the unusual goose egg, but Nas Core has been a good addition, and Sean Williams has been a good addition. This is a team that hasn't missed a lot of shots. They just struggle with fouls right now. Like, they've had a ton of fouls. They have 30 fouls through 2 weeks. And yes, I know that they don't control the fouls. The fouls aren't all on them. Like, obviously the refs call those, and we've seen this year and in years past the referees, you know, not always be the best, but, like, they got to control it a little bit, because they're putting teams in the bonus early and it's costing them at the end of the game. So they've won a tight one and they lost a tough one. I think Three's Company comes out with a vengeance. And as crazy as it is, like, I don't really think, like, Trilogy, like, the dynasty of this league. Like, it's hard for me to put them at 0-3, but I feel like Three's Company is going to win this one going 2-1. It's going to be a tough one for Trilogy. And, you know, I don't want to see any team going 0-3. I want them to all be fighting till the very end. But I think Three's Company is pissed off from last week, and I think they're going to come out with a vengeance. Not that Trilogy shouldn't be pissed off, you know, being 0-2, being down 20 at one point. But I think it's taken some time for the new guys for Trilogy to adjust. Whereas Three's Company's team has been, and most of those guys have been in this league a long time. And again, probably very pissed off that they even had to take a loss, because they could have lost that game, sure, but, like, to lose on that, like, that's tough. So I got Three's Company going 2-1, and Trilogy surprisingly falling to 0-3. So that is game previews. Let me know what you guys think. I definitely could be wrong on all of those picks, but let me know what your guys' picks are for this week. And let me know what you think about the rest of the league so far, the competitiveness, you know, just your thoughts on the success of this year. I feel like it's been a good turnout on X. I feel like there's been good viewership just on social media and CBS. And I'm excited for the rest of this league to take off, and excited for the league to go to Baltimore for the first time. Again, if your team or you're a player and you guys have merch or anything, or there's any way I can support your teams and players, let me know in the comments below. That would be much appreciated, and I'm always looking to support. But excited to see what turns out in Baltimore. Again, next week, hopefully we have a few guests, so more episodes have come out. I'm going to knock on some wood so that I don't jinx anything, but hopefully that's the case. But excited for week 3. Again, let me know your predictions down below. Thank you to everyone who's tuning in. Also, make sure you're following the show at Fourth Man Pod. We're doing more news and highlights, and if you want any kind of updates, like the one I posted today about De'Zaren Jones joining Killer 3, you can find all that first on our Instagram or our Twitter account or X account, whatever it is. And then just another big shout out to Believe Network for always sticking with us. We appreciate the support, and we appreciate you giving us a platform to talk about the Big 3. That's all I got for you guys this week. Hopefully I'll be back next week with multiple episodes, but until then, enjoy week 3, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.